When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
AI and other emerging tech might be getting the lion's share of headlines and investment, but retail companies can't afford to overlook the humans at the heart of their business, and not just the consumers they're trying to sell to. Well-trained, committed, frontline workers are key to a retailer's success, but that is proving more and more elusive. With their worker attrition rate of about 60%, retailers are essentially replacing more than half their staff every year. And that is a lot of churn. So today we're going to discuss why investment in staff onboarding, training, development, communications, and retention must come from the top, and how AI and technology can really make an impact. I'm Lauren Parker from Fairchild Media Group, and I'm thrilled to welcome Michael Appel, Managing Director and Head of the Retail Practice at Getzer Henrich & Associates, and Christine Tutzel, Co-Founder and Chief Revenue Officer of Exonify. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Lauren.
So, Michael, I'm going to start with you. As the former CEO of Rue 21, and you're really a retail veteran, you obviously know the industry. Why do you think staff and management turnover in retail is so high today?
Well, I mean, traditionally, frontline turnover has always been an issue for retailers. But I think part of the reason why it's become even more of an issue is the competitive landscape for frontline employees and employees generally. Number one, because employment is so strong, but more because I think that when you look at many of the frontline employees in retail, and many of them are young, I think they expect more from employers in terms of the experience that they have. And so I think that's one reason. I think another reason is that with the increasing complexity of running a retail business, all right, and the requirements of frontline employees to do more, where I used to say, okay, what's their job? Their job is to, get the stock out and ring the register, right? And hopefully they're going to interact with consumers. I mean, today we're asking them to do a lot more. And that includes, curbside pickup, buy online, pick up the store, ship from store, all sorts of other things like that, and other types of loyalty programs and things like that that require a lot more engagement and mastery of the subject. So I think that's one of the reasons that's become such a challenge.
Yeah, they're all really good points. And we talked about how it really needs to come from the top. So associates really do want that strong connection with their leaders. And Exonify did a report that found that 47% of associates said that empathetic leadership was a top driver of their happiness and success. And interesting, that was just second to equitable compensation. So with workforces in, tens or hundreds of thousands and possibly spanning the globe, it's obviously difficult for the C-suite to engage with all these workers. So, Christine, I'm going to ask you, how can retailers make it easier for executives to foster that connection and help associates be more successful?
Well, I think when you say it starts at the top, Lauren, it's true. And I think that, in a lot of cases, retailers view that trying to enable associates is the job that's done at the actual store level. But we have to take it right back to the top. And I think if I think about Dick Johnson, the former CEO of Foot Locker, when I first met Dick, he came up to me and said, "Christine, I did my training today and this is how I did." And I'm like, okay, why is the CEO of the company doing this? Because he cares and he wants to set an example for his people. And he shows that he's an empathetic leader. And as you say, when we did that report, that's the second most important thing next to comp, for these associates. So we have to look after our people and make sure that we're giving them the tools and the things they need to show up and be their best every day.
It's actually encouraging from that report that it's not all about the money, right?
I mean, the money's
a big part of it, but it's not, that's not the whole thing.
And I think people, they want to do a good job. They want to do their best. And as a retail associate, you know, I remember talking to when Carrie Ask was president of the Levi's retail, and she said to me, you know, Christine, we ask our associates to do more than anybody else. You know, they have to know about how to manage a fitting room. They have to know about the product. They have to know about loss prevention. They have to know about safety. They have to know about customer service. They have to know how to run the cash, and on it goes. How do we enable them to actually show up and do all these things?
Yeah, Christine's comment about they want to do their best. You know, most people won't come in and they want to do a good job, right? And they want to feel that they can do a good job, that they have the tools to do a good job. And that's really critical. And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think has been some of the challenge to get the C-suite to invest in staffing support? Do they not really see the big picture?
I think that, you know, trying to get an understanding that there is a direct impact on the business results of the operation when you enable your frontline properly, there's a disconnect there. They're not seeing that, you know, if I communicate effectively, if I train effectively, if I have confident employees and they know what to do and how to show up, that they're going to be more effective and then they're going to increase, you know, CSAT and conversion rates and all the things that we're looking to do, you know, from the front line. But I think, like, you know, I was chatting actually when I was at NRF, I had a couple of the leaders from Rue 21 on stage with me, and they're talking about loyalty and thinking about loyalty, not just from the customer perspective, but from the employee perspective. And how do you create a loyal employee experience? So they're talking about, okay, in the store, how much stuff are we fire hosing down to our associates? Like all this stuff is coming down to them. It's, you know, this promo is coming. These new products are coming in. You know, all these things are happening. And it's just a lot of noise. And it's really hard to focus on what needs to be done. And so they looked at how do we want to effectively communicate with these associates and what's the cadence of that? And then once they laid that out and the employees are going, okay, now I get it. I know what to expect each day of the week. And they can then activate that to be more successful in their role. And that creates a more loyal employee and a better experience. So then they show up better when they're dealing with the customer because they know what to do.
You both talk to a lot of retail leaders. Do you find maybe the lack of investment is these retail leaders don't know if the tools really exist, or they don't see the associates as a crucial driver, or they don't know the tools or the tactics to really tap into that?
I think it just varies so much by leader, you know, and also, you know, what their background is. If you've been in the business and you've spent time in your stores, which retail leaders need to do, right? It's pretty obvious, all right? Because basically the frontline employees, that's the interface between the company and the consumer. And that's where it's all happening. I always say, if I want to know what's going on in my company, if I'm running a retailer, I'm going to be in the stores and I'm going to interact with the associates and understand what's going on from their perspective and how we can help them do a better job, because it's all about doing a better job. I'm chairman of the board of Ashley Stewart, and I go to those stores, and I am like blown away by the commitment of our staff to the customer, and to making the experience a great experience for them.
It's good for the C-suite to really get out of their office and get into the store and see things firsthand.
I agree. Like the C-suite needs to get out and get in the stores, and actually. You know, I was chatting with Janice Lee, who's the chief people officer at Giant Eagle. And she said when she first started, she went into the store and she went through the onboarding experience that the associates were taking. And she finished going through it. She's like, no wonder they're leaving. You know, like, this is horrible. You know, why don't we do something that makes it fun and engaging and give them what they need to show up and get them out on the floor as quickly as possible? So they revamped their onboarding experience, cut down the time it takes to get the employee ready on the floor, and then attach that to the ongoing reinforcement training that's focused on that individual, where their gaps are from a knowledge perspective, to make sure that we're enabling them to do their job. And they, once they did that, they saw their retention rates increase dramatically. So now 80% of employees are staying, whereas before it was like 30 to 40%. So that's a huge impact on the business.
And there is a tremendous financial impact. The cost of turnover is gigantic, not only in the training and the recruitment piece, but also you're longer term employees that have mastery of what they do and connect with the customers drive revenues. So, you know, this is not a touchy feely thing. All right. When you look at it, it's all about driving performance. And I think people kind of forget that. And by serving our customers, if we have great people in the stores that really engage with the customers, they're going to have a great experience and we're going to do a lot of business.
Right. It's win-win for everyone. So that's a perfect segue, Christine. Explain how the Exonify tool works and how it does make onboarding and training, you know, fun for employees and beneficial for the higher-ups.
So we provide a fun gamified experience that is based on a micro-learning concept. So it's short, snappy bites of training that are reinforced using an AI algorithm that uses a technique called question-based learning. So you take your little video and it's not writing a test. I mean, you obviously do a short quiz when you finish the training, but then we, on an ongoing basis, we're reinforcing that content to make sure employees remember what they need to do. Because the science will show you that you're going to forget 90% of what you've learned within 30 days, right? So this is what happens, right? We take these associates, we train them, we put them out on the floor, they forget, they don't have anybody to ask, or they're afraid to ask, so they leave. So by incorporating this ongoing daily experience, it's fun and engaging, and it allows us to level up every associate based on their personal knowledge gaps, which is really, I think, a critical piece of the puzzle here.
And then it builds in accountability, like you're kind of retesting them.
I would think of it more as question-based learning than testing. There's a difference in terms of how you're writing questions, how you're presenting the information, reinforcing that with, you know, an explanation. Even if you get something wrong, you still have an ability to learn at that time. And it also gives the employer, from their perspective, a really easy way to adjust things. So for example, you know, you might go to your training department and say, hey, I need, you to create some training for, check 21. So we know if we're carding people when they're coming into a store to buy alcohol. And you might wait for some time in order to get that information put into your system and pushed out to your employees. With our solution, you could just go in and change one question. And we had a retailer actually do this. They were getting a number of violations. And they just wrote a question that said, if the person that is going through the checkout looks to be older than your parents, don't ask them for ID, right?
So it's really understanding like what their capabilities are and kind of coming down to their level. So it doesn't feel like this top-down testing, like you said.
Yeah. It's really trying to support and enable. And then as you reinforce over time and people are answering questions on a repeated basis, then they get confident. And what we know to be true is a knowledgeable, confident employee will act. If you have somebody who is knowledgeable but not confident, they're not going to use that information. And if you, the worst case scenario is you have someone who's confident and not knowledgeable, and then they do the wrong thing. So that's kind of the core piece of, you know, how we enable associates from a training perspective. But, you know, I think about it this way. There's things that you want employees to know to show up and be able to have a conversation and interact with a customer. And then there are things that you want an employee to be able to have at their fingertips. So we're just launching later this year our Max AI tool, which actually enables our customers' associates to actually ask a question and get returned a very specific response to help the customer. So the customer is in front of you and you have a question. Oh, how much paint do I need to cover my room? It's 10 by 10. And you ask Max and you get the answer right away. And you can say to the customer, I need this many gallons of paint.
So all voice activated. They don't have, it's all handheld on their phones, or it's a tablet.
Or they can type the question in and they get a specific response to answer the question. So it's very timely and quick, and they can provide great service. And then we'll also give them access to documents that have further information should they require it. But instead of, you know, having to go through and look up and search through PDF documents, we've got all these SOPs and everything that customers have. And they're very lengthy and people can't find anything. So, you know, we can parse through these documents and return an answer. Like somebody shows up with a check. How do you process a check? Like, who uses a check?
Yeah. What's that? I don't even know if the younger employees would know what that is.
And so you could just ask the question to give you, you know, how do you deal with that? So those kinds of capabilities are like moving very fast and are going to be like instrumental in changing that experience to enable those associates to really deliver good customer service.
I think it's fun for the customer too, right, Michael? I mean, they're kind of asking the question. It's kind of neat. It's AI. It's bringing it to the next level.
It's really timely. I mean, the old way of doing things was you took the whole store employee base and you stuck them in a training room for an hour, and then their eyes would glaze over, right? And then they'd forget what was going on. Now, the way this is done, it's just so much more in tune with the way the world works, right? Everything's fast, everything's in small bites, and it's digestible, and they remember. And I think it's great. And one thing that Christine doesn't talk about, but which is didn't talk about in this whole thing, is, you know, what's the advantage of using this tool? All right, a huge advantage that I think is, and what actually motivated me to engage with Exonify, you know, when we first started with them in 2021, was the idea of being able to have consistency of training and consistency of execution across the company. And when you have 700 or 800 stores, right? You know, the old way was well, your store manager was sort of, you know, having to do training. Well, not all store managers are created equal, and the training is the same. What you see financially, because it all comes out to that, is you see this huge differentiation in performance between stores, right? But if your people are trained, all right, with a consistency and they all get it, that's going to result in more consistent, better results. And, you know, and for a CEO, for the C-suite, etc., looking at that, wow, you know, if you can get that, that's a huge win.
It's easier for the C-suite to manage it, right? Because all that information is funneling to them, right? So it's all direct to, like, they're seeing what's happening at every store. They know exactly the training that goes out. So it's this one-to-one relationship.
I think it's more than that, though, Lauren. It's about like data, right? So we provide several data points every time someone's asking and answering a question. So we're able to tell, you know, what their knowledge levels are, the frequency and the recency of which they've seen this information, and put all that together and be able to present data on where are your employees today with what you're trying to drive forward in the business. And retailers have tons of information, like all this data about their inventory and everything else to do with all the customers' buying habits and all this. But what kind of data do you actually have on your associate, on your employees, to know how do they line up to meet the demands with all of the other aspects of the business? And we can provide that data.
It's also good for the stores to see the questions that are asked often, because maybe there's something that's coming up again and again that maybe the stores need to do extra training with those employees, or maybe it's just something the stores need to fix so customers aren't asking about it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you could do a couple of things there. One is, I mean, the system will automatically resurface training to employees that are having a deficit in a certain area. But we can also surface that information to the store leaders so that when they're having their huddle at the beginning of a shift, they might choose to talk about a topic that they know is causing a challenge for the team. And so they can, you know, have an informed point of view based on what is real today with the team that's on the floor.
And Christine, you talked about Foot Locker's Lace Up program. So Can you talk about that a little bit more? That's their that was their program with Exonify, and maybe some metrics that came out of that.
Yeah, sure. So they call Exonify Lace Up, and their whole mantra was clock in, lace up, hit the floor. So that became kind of how they showed up every day. And, you know, an employee comes to work and they literally clock in, they pull out their phone, they use a full BYOD policy. Everybody's using their own device and they do their training and then they're on the floor. It became part of the culture, right, of the organization. So 95% of associates at Foot Locker lace up every day they come to work. So, you know, I don't know about you, but getting 95% of people's attention, like, how do you get that? And so once you have that, what can you do with it to drive the business forward? And so that's where, you know, from a customer service point of view, you see, like, you know, much higher CSAT scores and impact on the business, because they're, when they first launched, the whole focus was on their customer service model to really drive those customer interactions. Because, you know, we would see inconsistency, to Michael's point, in terms of the right behavior of the associate. You know, someone would engage and have a conversation, but they wouldn't necessarily ask you if you wanted to try something on. Somebody else would grab the product and give it to you and then leave and expect you to transact the shoes. And so, you know, trying to get consistency with how we show up, how we interact with the client as they come into the store, and then making sure that we take that all the way through to converting the sale at the cash has tremendous impact.
Right. And just being able to get the employees to say cash or charge, right, is huge. It's an amazing thing. But just, you know, training people to say it's okay to ask for the sale, right? The customers want that. You've taken them all the way to the end. Now they, you know, they want to buy it and they want to get in and out quickly. So, you know, how do you do that and make it a pleasurable experience for them?
I think it's important that, you know, when you're looking at how do you provide the right technology to enable your team members, a lot of times people view, like, learning solutions as something that's dealt with learning and development and HR. That's their area. They should look after that. What I believe to be true is that it is a partnership between the operators and HR and L&D coming together to say, what are the problems that we're trying to solve in the business today? And how do we enable you with an agile learning solution and a comm solution put together to be able to drive the behaviors that you're looking for in the business? I would say that the other piece of the puzzle is culture. And how do you create a culture of learning, a culture of engagement where people show up every day and, you know, they know what they're supposed to do in the right way? And I've had several senior leaders from different retailers tell me that we have enabled them to change their culture. And some of these companies have hundreds of thousands of people. And you don't turn these big ships all at once.
Right.
You do turn those ships one employee at a time. And if we can get everybody going in the same direction, we can have a real impact on where the business is going.
So I want to pivot to retail crime. I know this is a huge problem today. It's something we talk about a lot. It's in the news, of course. You know, both employee theft, consumer theft, you know, these organized crime rings. So obviously this is hurting retailers' bottom line, but it also puts frontline workers in danger and it scares them. And maybe that's some of the reason why attrition is so high. So, Christine, I know you did a survey on this with 300 frontline managers. So can you share some insights?
Yeah, I think that what we know is it's definitely taking a toll on the workers. And, you know, what we know to be true from the study we've done is that employees really are asking to be trained so they know how to act in a situation. Right. I mean, gone are the days where you chase somebody out the door when they're taking something. And the best solution to fight against retail crime is good customer service. So you're present and you're there. But, you know, with staffing concerns today, we can't always do that. So if you're presented with a circumstance, knowing what to do is really critical. And, you know, you can't chase the the person out the store. You have to, you know, let that person leave with the goods and then, you know, do the right thing according to your policy once they've left the actual store. And we see things in the news of employees, like, instinctively you want to help, right? And so you're going to do the wrong thing. So good training that's reinforced is critical to making sure that we can keep these employees safe.
You know, I have to tell you something. This issue, with the exception of, you know, the media has been playing up the gang, you know, the gang theft, all right, because it's great negative news. But, you know, shrink has always been with us. And the majority of shrink is not from gangs. You know, it's internal, it's paperwork, it's all sorts of other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so we need to remember that in terms of addressing it in that regard. And the other piece of it, too, is that retailers, I think, have to take responsibility for this, is, you know, in the quest of reducing costs, you know, there's not enough staff on the floor. And both in internal employees and, you know, customers get it. They walk into a store and there's no one to be found. So that's an invitation to theft. And I think retailers have to sort of, like, you know, recognize that and say, you know, there's a certain minimal level of courage you need in order to service your customers and also to address, you know, the fact of shrinkage and as a deterrent. And one thing I have to tell you, I heard this story a long time ago, which is, you know, well, why does Walmart have greeters at every store? Okay. Well, one of the reasons subliminally is that there are people that have said hello to you, have interacted with you. And that could be also be a deterrent to, you know, to doing that stuff. So there's all sorts of ways of dealing with it. And I think that you're always going to have that. The shrink will always be an issue, but there are certainly, for companies that are committed to reducing it and doing the right thing, they can make headway. And certainly training is critical, especially with, you know, the California's law, right? Regarding not going after shoplifters and stuff. You know, in that market, you've got to train them differently, right? You've got to make sure that they're properly, you know, trained to deal with it within the context of the laws of that state.
Right. And if you're a big retailer and you have stores in many different states, you also have to keep that in mind as well, right?
The most important thing is the safety of your employees, okay? That's number one. And you have to communicate that to the staff. I mean, and when they know that goes a long way in, you know, in that regard. And that's the empathy part of it, right? It's like, we get it. We understand it. Here are the tools that we're going to give you, you know, do the best you can in the situation without putting yourself at risk.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's not just training, it's also communications layered on with that training, because the comms piece, if there's something happening in the area that's here and now that you want people to know about, we need to have that communication. So when I show up, you know, the first thing I see when I come to work and I pick up my device is, you know, a message that perhaps there have been, you know, other retail crimes happening in that area, in that mall, or other stores in the area, that type of thing. So we can get that out there quickly and effectively to the end user. So it's not just about, you know, doing my training today, but it's about communicating to give the employees not only awareness, but then also advice as to reinforce how to handle that.
So just to wrap up, how can AI technology kind of help take training to the next level? And again, how can, you know, the tech help the humans better do their jobs?
Yeah, I think there's kind of three pieces to the puzzle there as I look at it. One is, you know, there's a lot of great new capabilities out there with content creation in terms of using AI to create videos, translate, do those kinds of things very quickly and effectively. And then also using AI to write the questions that do the reinforcement to ensure that we're transferring that learning. So all of those things are areas that, I mean, we've actually been using AI to do the question-based learning now for several years. And the technology has continued to evolve quite rapidly. And now we've incorporated into the video side as well. Then the other piece is using AI to personalize the delivery of learning, which again, we've been doing for several years and continue to advance those capabilities. So We make sure that the person gets specifically what they need in order to level up and do their job. And then the third piece is having the ability to use AI to deliver a specific response to the end user so they can, the things that they don't have in their head, but they have at their fingertips, are now much more readily available and solve for the specific customer requirement.
I thought the translate point you made was interesting. That could be really helpful in like a touristy area where you could actually engage with a customer in their language, you know, through like a Google Translate or something.
Yeah. And I mean, it also works the other way. So you have a whole repository of content that you're using to access to answer these questions. That can all be in English. Okay. I can ask the question in Spanish and get a Spanish response, but I don't have to translate my source documentation anymore, which is a massive change.
That's amazing, right? And yeah. with our multicultural, you know, U.S., right? We're multicultural, multilingual. Being able to do that is fantastic.
I know that we worked on a significant project with a global retailer to get all of their content translated into all of the languages. And this was a few years ago. Today, you don't have to do that. Right. You can have one central repository in English, and whether you're in, Vietnam, or whether you're in Switzerland, or whether you're in the US, ask the question in your language of choice and you're going to get the answer.
Great. Well, it's a brave new world and we look forward to seeing what's going to come more from Xanify. And thank you, both of you. This has been really, really interesting.
Thanks, Lauren.
All right. Thanks, Lauren.